Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going down?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling funky. We're not going to start the show what day is it today?
Sunday,
innit, mate? Sunday, this show goes out. I'm not going to start the show with playing my automaton. Chris, have you just returned from Hokkaido? Are you going back out there? I'm confused as to where you are, where you're going, what videos are coming out soon.
I mean, I did just get back from Hokkaido. Yes, we filmed a brand new episode, or brand new series of Journey Across Japan. And it's called, I haven't told anyone this, I'll tell you though, it's called Frozen Frontiers.
Oh, nice, I like that. It's the sort of thing that I would be announcing on D-Max on Discovery Channel. What's the title again? Frozen Frontiers.
Frozen Frontiers. You've got it very fast there. Very worrying.
Coming up next on... in just a moment we'll have Deadliest Catch, but right now on D-Max, Frozen Frontiers. Chris and Natsuki are in a whole heap of trouble. It's Frozen Frontiers. Can I have my money now?
I forget you're a voice actor. Why the fuck? How can you do that? What makes people have the voice? How do you get the voice?
No, it's not the voice. It's the having the list of shows that's on.
See, I can't do that though. I can't be like, coming up next is a... It just sounds weird. You need to have the voice.
One affliction shuts down a teen's lungs. Another attacks the nervous system of a personal trainer. And a third infection eats the blood of a health worker. It's Monsters Inside Me next, right here on D-Max.
Fucking hell. Your talent's wasted on this podcast.
A lot of trouble going on. There was one a few months ago. It was like these sort of program listings like were written probably 15 years ago, and they just go in a database, and when that old show comes back out, it basically just spits out whatever show's on, and it tells you what's on the show, and then you write a script around it. And sometimes I'll just copy what it says, because there's no point in me rewriting a copywriter's work. I may as well just fucking copy what they say. It's sloppy, absolutely sloppy. AI will take everyone's jobs. Because of people like me. And there was one not that long ago. It was clearly written a long, long, long time ago, and it was something it was a show about interesting physiques. I think it's called Body Bazaar, right? And one of the things, so it's usually people in India or China who've got who've got a deformation that looks makes you look like Ganesh or something, so they're loved by their people because they resemble a god and people with arms grown out their back and stuff. But one was it was literally just somebody transitioning. I was fucking hell. that's in Body Bazaar, and you're putting that out. I think it went out, and I was like, fuck it out. Like, and that was the, and like, why nobody's looked at that? I probably should have flagged it up, to be honest. But it's just one of those things where it's like, with like attitudes and have just kind of changed, and these kind of operations are obviously, obviously been going for like fucking 50 years, but like, if not longer. And so it's kind of like, it's kind of interesting how people talk about this stuff, and it's changed so quickly over the past sort of 10 years. But you sort of see these kind of like time burps from the past, and it was actually just a bit shocking. I was like, I'm not fucking saying that. That sounds mental. I'll talk about the bloke with his, with two arms going out of his back. Thank you.
Well, I remember, you know, yeah, I remember watching recently one of my favourite sitcoms, Only Fools and Horses. Everyone knows it, Britain's biggest sitcom. And I was watching some of the early episodes, which came out in the early 1980s, and it's just like, oh, that dialogue wouldn't work anymore quite a lot. And yeah. It was a very bizarre experience. Like, it felt really out of place. Things have changed. Things
certainly
have moved on.
Good.
What hasn't moved on is Journey Across Japan. We're still going.
Still going.
The last series, which came out last August, that was like heralded as the last series, and we've just gone and done it all over again. And this time we brought along Peak Premier 2 to make things more interesting, to spice things up a bit,
make it louder.
Make it louder. We did some cool stuff though. We went to an ice bar, which felt a bit like that awful set out of Die Another Day. Remember, he goes to like some weird fucking ice bar in Iceland.
Okay.
And then there's a space laser and he goes surfing and it's awful. God, what an awful film. Jesus God. But it wasn't quite as eventful as that.
No.
But we did get to drink some vodka out of a bit of ice. It's quite good.
Nice, cool.
It was really fun, like the ice bar. It's such a cool idea.
Are you sort of ice. They always say you shouldn't lick anything frozen. Like, how did it stop your tongue from sort of or your lips sort of gluing it to the ice?
They must spray it with something. Antifreeze. I don't know.
Antifreeze. Good stuff.
I'm not sure. It worked, though. It did work. Maybe because you're pouring the sort of, as you pour it, the alcohol washes over it. I don't know. Did a good point, actually, though. I did watch one guy, one foreign tourist in the corner, like, bite and devour his glass cup. And it was a bit weird. But, you know, the trip was good. We went on the snow train. There's like a Harry Potter-esque steam train that went through the snow.
Oh, nice.
We went to the most eastern point in Japan, which is actually in Hokkaido. And not that great. Very fucking cold. Ironically, we went to the coldest town in all of Japan. This really pretty mundane town called Nikubetsu. And it was the hottest day of the trip, so it was kind of rubbish. We were like, oh, in the coldest town, but it's the hottest. It was like -2, and the day before it had been -15 somewhere that wasn't the coldest town.
Right.
So the whole thing didn't really work. It was a bit annoying. But we did it on that day in the coldest town. We had Natsuki and Joey do a wrap off against each other. It was mediated by Pete, and I think that might be the breakout moment from this series. It's no too much volcano, but watching Natsuki go head to head with Joe was pretty cathartically fun.
Nice.
And the loser had to roll around in the snow, which were topless, which looked incredibly painful. I won't spoil who that was, but Jesus, that must have hurt. God. The screaming. I've still got the screaming in my ears.
I very much enjoyed the where Natsuki is having a little snooze and you guys are playing poker because Natsuki's just had too much fun. Too much poker.
He's all pokered out. We did teach Natsuki poker a few nights after that photo that I posted on Twitter, and he wasn't very good. He just kept going, I want to bet. Bet is good. And then he lost all his chips in like 5 seconds.
I'm going all in.
I want to bet. I like money. And then he lost his chips. He was the first one out of five people.
Good
stuff.
Should
have done that, actually. That would have been the highlight of the
trip. Well, you think that, like, with him, like, he's quite good at pachinko, but it sounds like the old poker, he's just not interested. I want to bet. Bet is good.
It's one of those things. The interesting thing about Texas Hold'em poker is you don't necessarily have to be good to win, because often when you start playing you don't know the rules, you don't understand what's going on, and it's not uncommon for the new guy or girl to win because they've just like all in, and then they play in a way that isn't normal. He didn't do that, luckily. He just lost, so thank God for that, and he was out of the game because it was a real headache trying to teach him all the rules. But should be a good series coming out in March. We're working really hard to get the series out quickly. And it was a lot of fun. It was very different to the Okinawa, like the tropical Okinawa vibe of the last series. And while that one was a sort of 1980s vibe to it, where we basically just bought loads of Spandau Ballet and Frankie Goes to Hollywood soundtracks. Mm. This series, it's firmly a Japanese series, and it's very Japanese. It's going to be Japanese.
Firmly Japanese. Music. The Chris Broad Experience.
There's going to be some Japanese music playing and give the people what they want. We've got a story this week from Chris. Good name. From Melbourne, Australia. It begins. Hi, Pete. I can't even say what that is. What is? I don't even want to read that out. Hi, Pete and Chris.
Peritonitis.
Peritonitis. What is that?
Give it a Google.
And Chris Season Broad. I heard about Pete's recent appendicitis. That's not this Pete. That's American Pete. And I thought I'd share my own experience of having
I was really confused. I'm always ill. And so I was like genuinely thinking, did I have that? And of course, he had it out, didn't he?
He had his appendix out after... I was like, they often say there's no reason you have appendicitis. Maybe it's stress, it's just bad luck. But Pete revealed after he had his appendix removed that the day before he had opened some baseball cards from like the 1990s. And within that pack of cards, there was a stick of chewing gum, which he not only chewed, but swallowed.
Right.
And I reckon it got stuck somewhere in the wrong place and caused his body to be like, what the fuck is this? Ah! And then his appendix got ruptured. I don't know, I'm not a doctor.
Right.
But it seems like quite the coincidence. Anyway, Chris continues. I thought I'd share my own experience of having an appendectomy in Japan. Oh, good God. And also, I feel like they handled Pete's procedure quite poorly. My friend, his appendix was... exploding, and they gave him some morphine because it's incredibly painful and really unpleasant. And Pete got nothing. They were like, he was like, morphine, onigashimasu. They were like, no.
No.
And so
I want to,
he suffered in
you've
pain.
You've been too naughty.
Yeah. It's revenge for your streams.
Yeah.
It was 2019. I was working at Ikaiwa English Language School in Fukuoka, and I started getting severe pain in my upper abdomen. But in true stoic style, I finished my first lesson. I was taken to hospital late on Saturday night, so there was not much they could do until the next morning. An ultrasound check showed an extremely inflamed appendix. Alone in the hospital, with basic non-medical Japanese skills, the staff panicked and kept running away to print out long paragraphs of Google Translate gibberish. Very reassuring. Oh, God. Eventually, they did manage, possibly, the most Japanese way of putting my situation. Would you mind having emergency surgery? They offered me the chance to get a second opinion, but they'd already booked me in for four that afternoon. Oh, Jesus. Unfortunately, elderly care in Japan isn't great. Anyone with severe dementia gets dumped in hospitals. My family's unable to care for them. And so it was that I ended up in a ward full of extremely senile Japanese men in adult underwear. Adult nappies, rather. Oh, God. Mm. One in particular would wake up at 3 a.m. and gather bedpans, mugs and bottles very noisily in his bed and try to go home.
No.
When my colleagues came to check on me, one of them noted, Chris Sensei, the nurses keep saying, Kakui, do you know what this means? To which I said, yes, it means cool. Chris Sensei, it means cool. The nurses, they think you're cool. It's not hard to look cool when you're 40 years younger than everyone else, not wearing a nappy or a sushi roll short of a bento. You've never heard of that phrase. A sushi roll short of a bento. When I could eventually get out of bed myself, I realised one of the more unusual problems of being taller than the average Japanese person, because I'm 6'1". The IV drip line that I was hooked up to wasn't long enough or tall enough. Instead of the bag emptying into me, I was emptying into the bag.
Is that really? How high was this thing not? How was the IV line? I mean, the difference between 6'1" and, you know, the average Japanese, what was it, 5'8"? Like, I'm sorry, it shouldn't be emptying into you. That's mental. They're just doing it wrong.
This is insane. A nurse quickly tried to syringe the fluid back, but did it too fast and caused me to faint. I walked around holding the bag high above my head, which is not easy when trying to brush your teeth. All the best, guys. Chris from Melbourne with his traumatising experience from hell. I must say, Japan, when it comes to more surgical procedures, I don't want to be here for them. I've never heard many good stories. The Japanese medical system, it's good and bad. In one hand, the hospitals are clean and tidy and nice. On the other hand, you know, lots of things go wrong. When COVID was kicking off, I don't really know how the system works, but when you get an ambulance, the ambulance just drops you off at the nearest hospital, whatever. and they go on their way. But if the hospital's full, they have to go from hospital to hospital, and it's not uncommon. Like we had, I think we had a story on here that someone got tossed around six hospitals before they finally got in one.
Right.
But like hearing Charlie's experience with the thyroid and Pete's experience with the appendix, it's pretty scary. Pete told me a very similar story about how his IV drip didn't work, and so she like stuffed it in his wrist with a syringe and like blood exploded everywhere. And it literally sounded like the most traumatizing thing I've ever heard. And there was some really, really awful stories about catheters and things. But and with Charla's thyroid situation, I don't know if you remember, a year and a half ago, she had to have one of her thyroids removed. There was a tumor on it or something. It was a tumor. It wasn't cancerous, thankfully. But it was, you know, it was a bad time. Yeah. She had this very swollen neck and she couldn't swallow. And we went to a doctor here in Sendai. And it was a very busy thyroid clinic. She went in and I sat outside, and then she came out and I went, "How'd it go?" And she went, "Not good." He said it's probably cancerous and that I should come back in 4 to 6 weeks. And we were like, "What? You're not waiting that fucking long if that's the diagnosis." And it was just really like this nonchalant kind of, it's probably cancer. Yeah, just come back in 2 months. We'll see. Which is not what you do. And, It was really fucked. And then she went to a clinic up in, I think, Morioka. And the doctor was much kinder and said, it's probably not cancer. But they didn't want to remove it. They didn't want to do any surgery on it, even though the thyroid was just broken. It was like, just doing nothing.
Snapped.
So in the end, she had to go overseas to do it properly. But yeah, I don't know. Japan, for something surgical, I don't think I'd want to be here. It just seems like there's too many horror stories, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But then is the UK much better? I suppose it is, if you can get into a hospital. But we got a story this week about taxis and silence, my two favourite things. What's going on? News of the week in Japan, Mr. Dawson.
Taxi driver, shut your mouth, shut your mouth, shut your mouth. The taxis, we've all used them to get from point A to point B. And, you know, you're not driving yourself. You're not on a train with a load of other people. But sometimes, certainly in places like London, you'll occasionally get a rather chatty taxi driver who wants to have a chat about everything. You find it more, I think, when you're getting a very, very late night cab a fair distance. People want to have a chat. But even if you're outgoing and social, everyone has those days when they're just not interested in the app, to be quite frank. It's just a little bit awkward. And, you know, maybe you've got some work to do, maybe you just want a bit of quiet time, maybe you're listening to music or whatever. Whatever your reason, though, Japanese.
I remember when I was the last time I was in a UK taxi, the taxi driver was just like this racist guy, and it's sort of this really awkward situation where you don't want to be like, "Nah, you're wrong." I just sort of sat there, and went, "Yeah." Yeah.
It's awkward.
And it's just awkward.
It is very awkward. And it's just as you get older, you have less problems with telling people to shut the fuck up. I find. but Japanese taxi operator Sanwa Kotsu understands, and so they're providing the option of a quiet ride that you can initiate with the simple tap of your finger. When you get into one of their Turtle Taxi branded cabs, you'll see a touchscreen facing the rear seats. At the bottom left of the screen is a button labelled silent mode. Tap on that and it relays the request to the front, letting the driver know that you'd prefer conversation-free transport today. The other buttons also offer ways to tailor the experience to your liking. You can ask the driver to prioritise smoothness over speed in accelerating and braking, so you get less jostling. And also a toasty mode. You can have it
toasty
really, really
mode.
Hot in the back, or you can have it chilly mode, so you can have it nice, nice and cold. And also, bottom left is a button you can tap to purchase a bottle of water for 100 yen, a nice little service. So it just means that you can have a little sip of water on your journey. Nice ideas, I think, all around. There's, I think, in the northeast of England, you can get a haircut if you've got problems with like talking to people. And I think a lot of people have quite a lot of social anxiety, unspoken social anxiety, about having a haircut because they do like a fucking chat. I'm not saying they are, you know, to be sure of it. But, like, it is a situation where, like, it is quite intimate. People are touching you. And to make it less awkward, the Brits love a chat. They love a chat. And a lot of people, I remember Craig Bellamy, the footballer, had this sort of social anxiety that's basically said I just didn't want to leave the house. I didn't want to go and get new clothes. I didn't want to get a haircut because I was scared the man was going to talk to me. And it's a real concern for a lot of people. They just want a bit of peace and quiet. So you can order a chat free haircut for £6 extra. I mean, it costs £6 extra, but I mean.
I mean, I've had periods where I'm like that, where I don't want to chat and I feel weird about it. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's you're not in the wrong, not in the right mood or whatever. In a Japanese taxi, it's rare for the driver to talk to me. It probably happens one in every 10 times. Mm. And then you get some nice ones who are good, and then you get others who just... I had one guy who couldn't speak English, but he spoke in Japanese, and he talked about how he really wanted his daughter to marry a British man. So we could build stronger links with the British and Japanese economy. And I was sitting there like, this is a really bizarre conversation. Let's increase trade across Japan and the UK by marrying off your daughter. Brilliant, mate, brilliant. It's cracking conversation. It's better than the racist conversation in London, for sure. Mm. But that's cool. When I heard toasty mode, I was excited. I thought they literally just give you some toast. Just a toaster on the passenger seat. Right. And the driver slaps it in, gets toasting. But that's cool, though. I'm surprised this thing doesn't exist already, really, in the land where people get like a little their own little private ramen stand where they can sit boxed off and not talk to anyone. It seems like this thing should already kind of be here. Like, I know on the Uber app, you can sort of request, shut the hell up, I don't want to talk to you, right? Mm. So I'm surprised this hasn't arrived sooner, but I think it's standard for taxi drivers in Japan to just not talk to the passengers. It's almost seen as unprofessional. Yeah, unless the passenger starts the conversation.
Yeah, I don't think that unless you're playing the video game Yakuza where you have a taxi side mission in Zero, I think it is. I don't think I've ever. I mean, obviously because a lot of the taxi drivers can't speak English, and it's very much this is for Japanese speakers mainly, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's cool though. I'll have to keep an eye out for that. That sounds pretty awesome. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
Hi both, this is from Edmund. After reading books like Heaven and How Do You Live and seeing films like A Silent Voice, I can't help but feel like bullying is presented as the victim's fault and very little is done about it. There seems to be some hesitation to inform adults or teachers about what's going on, and the bullying seems very violent in comparison with UK schools. Are these accurate depictions of bullying in schools or just amplified for fiction? If so, why is there a stigma against speaking out? All the best, Edmund. A lot of bullying happening in the schools, I think Edmund's probably right. There is a lot of that kicking around in media, and it's almost kind of accepted as part of a rites of passage of sort of growing up in many places.
Yeah, I don't know really. Yeah, in Japan, it's kind of seen like, yeah, there is an aspect of it's your fault. You're not part of the group. You're not making a big enough effort to be part of the team.
Right.
And certainly, that felt like the situation in the classroom. Like last month, I finished writing my book and I did a chapter on bullying actually in Japanese schools because we had a really bad incident on the, I think it was the first day back of my second year,
right.
The start of the second academic school year in Japan. Mm. The first day back, a kid jumped off the third or fourth story building, like jumped out the window.
God.
Fortunately survived, but was very severely injured. And it turned out he'd been bullied and kids had been taking his lunchbox and all sorts. Yeah, no, it's a strange dynamic. I don't know if the people are presented as the victim's fault, though. I've never got that vibe myself, but then I haven't read these books that you listed, Edmund. But yeah, bullying in Japanese schools is a problem. The Japanese government did actually try and have a crackdown on it, I think around 2013. It didn't really do anything. In fact, bullying numbers have gone up. Maybe that's because people are talking about it more, or it's being reported more widely. But yeah, figures are actually going up, if anything, which is a terrible shame.
Yeah.
But in a collective society where everyone has to try and be the same or be part of the group and conform, if you stand out, you get buggered for it. And it's a nasty business. We got one here from Joe from Manchester. He says, "Hi, Cavalier Chris and Pivotal Pete. As a 12-year vegetarian with very basic knowledge of Japanese, I'm slightly worried about accidentally ordering meat dishes on my own, or perhaps something that looks vegetarian, but is actually made with fish stock, for example. Will pointing at myself and saying, 'Vegetarian,' be enough to get me by in the worst case scenario? Are there any safe go-to dishes that you recommend? Cheers, guys. Joe from Manchester." I don't know, Pete. You're the expert.
Just take a bit of paper with the kanji on. We've said it before, we'll say it again, just do that.
Just write vegetarian on a bit of paper and just stick it out.
Yeah.
I mean, they do often ask if you've got an allergy, and that maybe that's the point, to be like, no allergy, but vegetarian, yes. And then that might do it. But like, yeah, I don't know, it's just be strategic with your dishes.
Mm.
It is quite hard being a vegetarian in Japan. It's pretty much impossible being a vegan unless you get your food from the supermarket yourself. There's always going to be fish stock in there somewhere. But yeah, I can't really... honestly, just point at yourself and say, "See my son, vegetarian, deskido." Like, menu do surabai. I don't know, just point at yourself and be like, "Vegetarian." And then sort of be like, point at the menu and be like, "Oh, what should I do? Oh." Mm. And hopefully they'll be like, "Go here, get that." That's probably your best bet, to be honest though, Jay. It's a tough one though, it's a tough one. And we got one last question from Diane, who says, "Hi Chris and Pete. Chris, in your recent excellent video, 25 kilometres across Tokyo in a day, neither you or Pete wore a mask outside. Is that allowed now? Coming over in March, and I desperately don't want to wear them if we don't have to, but also don't want to be the bad visitor who breaks the rules. It doesn't help that the current guidelines are confusing. Thanks for everything. All the best, Diane." In the scenes that we didn't wear the mask, we're always outdoors, right? If you'll notice, if we go inside a building, like Don Quixote or the game store,
right.
Super Potato, we did put them on there. So indoors, yes. On public transport, yes. In the street, no, you're fine. The government said that you don't have to wear them outside, but a lot of people still do in Japan. They just want to be a bit cautious. But I have heard that they are going to have a strong push for getting rid of masks in the next couple of months, just because they've sort of moved beyond that now. You know, it's been like a year since they got rid of them in the UK, I think. But,
will this ever actually kill the mask, do you reckon?
I think... No, I don't think it would kill the mask. Well, maybe in a year or two more. I don't know. I think it's going to take a little bit longer Just because people are so comfortable with them. And in fact, I don't mind wearing them in the cold in the winter, right? It's freezing right now. When I was in Hokkaido, where it was minus 16 degrees Celsius, I was very much, very happy to wear my face mask, to be honest. So there are times in winter, but when it gets to summer and it's 35 degrees and you're sweltering and you've got to stick something on your face, no, it's not good.
No.
But yeah, that's how we got around it in the video. We're basically outside. And often we took them down or off when we were recording. And then when we stopped recording, we put them back on.
Right, okay.
But generally, I don't wear them out and about anymore. So, yeah. Also this week, guys, completely unrelated to masks and vegetarians, we did release a video on sushi, eating all the sushi in Japan with Ryotaro. It's good to have Ryotaro back in some capacity, I think. But we did this challenge. It was a sponsored video by Sushiro. And you might remember, Pete, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, Sushiro had a bit of a scandal where some moron licked the plate and then put it back on the fucking conveyor belt, right? And
yes.
All the sushi restaurants have been scrambling to do something about it.
So you're lending a hand.
Well, people think we, like Sushiro, have been like, we're like, oh God, what can we do? I know, Abroad in Japan, throw some money at them and then we'll do it. Actually, we filmed the video like 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah.
So it's not the case.
You're the one who
I did
it.
See. If anyone is Ryotaro. But no, we went there. It was a lot of fun. Do check it out. We cool. did eat arguably too much sushi, but can you ever have too much sushi?
Never.
Yes you can.
Oh, you can, right?
I think they made me remove a line where I was like, oh, I'm so full, I'm never eating sushi again.
Oh, right.
And they
were
like, oh, that sort of undermines the whole point of us sponsoring you if you're never going to eat sushi again. I was like, yeah, right, fair point. But do check it out. That Sushiro branch is in Asakusa. It's a really cool store, and yeah, it's good. I know they're suspending temporarily, I think, the conveyor belts, right, where they just put the sushi out and they go round and round in circles, but they are very much still delivering the food to your table via the conveyor belt, so you still get the full blown conveyor belt experience. But go and check it out. The video's not doing as well as normal. That's what happens when you release a video the night of the fucking Super Bowl. Everyone goes and watches that instead. So please go and check it out. That's all for now, though, guys. Keep the stories, comments, and questions coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later on this week. It's all over again, but for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Farewell, all.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes. I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.